time is a flat circle. Of everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it!
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Can't wait for not to go. That's when the sun.
Hour number two on a Friday. Hope you're having a great start to the weekend. Trey Elling is hanging out. He's actually going down to check out some volleyball. Check out Troy Field, who is in his match right now. We're here at the AVP Austin Open. I'm Chad Hastings. Kevin Dunn continuing his vacation. We hope he's having a great time. And again, hope you're having a good start to your weekend. It is nice and warm and breezy out here at Craig Fields. Remember, free admission all weekend long if you want to come check out the AVP Austin Open. Continues to grow each and every year. There's all kinds of great booths out here with different people with samples of things. You got this great open bar area, outdoor bar area here. We're right behind the bar, which just seems appropriate for us. And joining me right now, he made it through the traffic. It's the one and only Rod Babers. How bad was it out there, sir?
It's getting worse, but I made it here in one piece.
You got it? That's good. That's important.
No doubt.
And I see you have already found a beverage to your liking.
I'm actually trying something new. Yesterday, I got a chance to try the Big Wave Golden Ale and the Longboard Island Lager. Now I'm trying the Conahai Blonde Ale. So right now, I got to tell you, it's trending toward the top.
Yes.
I got one more I got to try, the Gold Cliff. Apparently it's my duty to try all these great Kona brews. So,
I believe the word job is what you're looking for.
I'm just saying.
It is your job, I believe.
I want to give you guys a thorough, authentic review, exhaustive review of these brews from Kona. So Kona, our friends who are the official sponsor of the AVP Tour, and they have this beautiful, this oasis bar, this outside bar. They got sand all around the bar, so you can get in that, that aloha beach state of mind.
Kind of feels like maybe Hawaii.
I like to sand and to the beach, so I'm in that mind state right now. But the Conahai is pretty good. Actually, I think I might like the Conahai over the Golden Ale. I like the Blonde Ale over the Golden Ale, and I think right now it might be toward the top. I'm not done with it yet. I gotta, totally give you my review once I'm done. But right now, it's a great brew experience.
I noticed that you are also wearing a wristband that lets everybody know that you are over 21. When's the last time you got carded, Rod Babers?
I just did.
They carded you?
The folks at Kona Brewing, they do not mess around, man. I guess it might grit the gray hairs in my beard. Didn't give it away. So, yeah, the young lady carded me, and boom.
She thinks you look 20.
I guess
so. That's awesome.
I just think.
Good for you.
I just think they're, making sure they take care of business. You know what I mean? They're making sure they do
it. They're being official. I got you. They're being official.
Some of Austin's finest right over there.
That's right.
They don't want to mess around.
Yeah, security's here. Don't worry.
Security's here. Yeah.
Security's here. Also, Trey Elling sitting back down now. Did you get a check-in on Troy in the match? What's going on?
I did. And when I walked away, it was 16-15. Troy and Tim were trailing, and it looks like they just did drop the first set 21-19. It is a best of three, though, so they have to chance back, get it to three sets, and then win it from there. It was a very competitive 5 points that I got to see. Boy, I have to say, too, I walked back up here knowing how Rod feels about volleyball players, and all I heard him say is, I need to test things out to make sure I give you an authentic opinion. I thought at first he was telling you that he was asking some of the female players to give him shoulder rubs. Fortunately, it is just the Kona thing that he was talking about.
I'm not asking for the reverse Biden up here at the AVP tour. No way. No,
reverse Biden.
I would love, in my prime, no, I can't do it, in my prime, if I could come out here in my bays, in my my college days, I'd have been on the hunt. It is it's a lot of talent out here in a lot of different ways.
For the record, I don't know what Robert Kraft asked for, but I'm certain it wasn't the reverse Biden. I know he didn't ask for that. There's no way.
It sounds more sinister than it is.
It does. It
reverse
really does.
Biden is just asking for a shoulder rub.
Exactly. I mean, that's right. That's a shoulder rub.
From a woman.
A man asking for a shoulder rub from a woman.
But specifically here, I want the man hands. I want the ladies with the big
that's
hands.
True. That's
that
true.
That can manhandle me.
We
right
have been given a reprieve with the Texas baseball team.
Oh,
what's the reprieve?
that they just went ahead and ended the game after seven innings.
Oh, yes. That would, I guess that would be it.
That's not true. Is that true?
The extra insult.
That is true.
Oh, I never know when Trey's messing around with me in that.
Well, I forgot. I always forget about this rule. So I never think of run rules.
It's a mercy rule?
Once they get, there is a mercy rule.
That's what it is on doubleheaders.
That's what it is on the doubleheader situation.
It's a doubleheader mercy rule.
Maybe that's what it is.
And I think it has to be the losing coach agrees to go ahead and call the game, too.
Oh, man. So how did that conversation go? So do you want to quit? I guess so.
Pierce just threw a bag of baseballs at the umpire and asked him that question.
So throw in the damn towel.
So final score 13-0 OU. Texas is officially eliminated from the Big 12 tournament. So coming up at 5:30, we will check in at Dishfog Field with Craig Way, but it will be to put a cap on this season in a way and look forward to 2020. There is a game tonight. As far as I know, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch. Because I think, Trey, Oklahoma might have seeding issues that they need to figure
out. Good point.
They
got
to play that game because then the rest of the weekend will play out, Oklahoma seeding in Oklahoma City could be affected.
It's fitting that this final score felt like it was a football game, maybe that we were watching at the Cotton Bowl, because this beatdown felt a lot like what was happening in the Cotton Bowl in the early 2000s.
Was that necessary? Was that necessary, Trey?
I'm ticked right now.
You have to bring
that up. I still have PTSD from some of those games, Rod. I know you do, too.
I do. You have to bring that up. I was having a good time enjoying my nice cone of brew here. Then you're going to bring up Oklahoma butt whippings that I received back in the early 2000s? Thank you.
I'm sickened by the effort today.
I just want the record to show I did not do that. That was Trey Elling.
I know. I thought Trey Elling did that. I would have been like, you know what, an Aggie's doing it. Okay, trying to take a jab.
I have more sensitivity than that.
That's crazy, man. You know what? I'm going to go back to looking at these volleyball ladies. Get myself in a better state of mind.
That's the play regardless of what I just said, Rod.
That is the way to go.
Yeah.
Texas loses 13-0. So we've kept you up to date on that one. Obviously, all OU today. So that has occurred today. Also, we are getting we'll keep you up to date on the PGA Championship. We're also talking NBA. Golden State wins last night, and you got the Eastern Conference Finals coming up tonight.
We've just mentioned Adam Scott, or not just, but you've mentioned Adam Scott a couple of times today in the PGA updates chat. It looks like Brooks Koepka still holding at 9-under through 12 now. Adam Scott just taking sole control of second place, surpassing Jordan Spieth, who is at 5-under right now. Adam Scott currently at 6-under through 15.
Ah, okay. Adam Scott, the Australian, making a little run there.
And Spieth is solely in third place with that 5-under.
Right, and he's off the course. He fired a 66 today,
correct,
I believe. So PGA continuing. They'll go CBS the rest of the weekend. Rod, now that we got you here, what did you think of Golden State last night? 114-111. Mm-hmm. Portland had a big lead. They had a little smaller lead, but they couldn't hold either one of them.
Yeah, I just don't – I just think Golden State Warriors is just that much better. We can try to break it down and, you know, break into like specifics and use the data and all these kind of things. Nope, Golden State's just that much better, period. And I think you saw it again last night. Steph Curry and Klay continue to impress, and they show they're better without KD in the mix. Doesn't make the Warriors better without KD. That's not true. But they are better. And one thing I observed just watching the game as a fan last night, because now the Rockets aren't playing, so now I'm just a basketball fan watching. Dude, they're more fun to watch without KD. Sorry. I mean, they're more fun to watch. Like, the ball movement there, and there's a sense of urgency. There's this frenzy on defense. There is, you know, the mystery and intrigue of not knowing if the Blazers really had a chance. Maybe they did have a chance to beat them. When KD's there, we know, they have no chance to beat them. You know what I mean? I just think it's fun. It's more fun as a basketball fan watching this product than the KD Warriors, which we all knew that killed all the drama left in the NBA.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. I the ball moves a lot better. We know that, and it feels like, in the end, maybe what we're learning is, and this is what we feared, I think, them getting Kevin Durant just kept Kevin Durant from being somewhere else to affect them.
Exactly.
But it didn't necessarily. It certainly didn't make them more fun to watch. It made them more dominant and
less interesting, almost.
Less interesting.
Right?
It certainly didn't make them any more fun. I said it earlier. I hate to love them when they play like that. I hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate to love it.
You're having fun watching it. You're like, oh!
But I'm watching it, and I'm like, dadgummit, you guys are good.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson's defending like that. Draymond's defending like that. Steph Curry's doing what he's doing. Looney with 14 off the bench.
I mean, what happened? They got a bench now?
Because they're
the
sharing.
We were talking about one of the weaknesses was going to be the lack of depth, right? No DeMarcus Cousins, no KD. And now they're getting 33 and 36 from the bench in the Western Conference Finals all of a sudden? Like, That's unfair. That just shows you that Steve Kerr, that they actually are developing talent. This is it's not just the big four they have. No, they actually are a great organization with a great culture. And, you know, and to the point that I was making, I mean, were the Warriors basically the best style of basketball that we had watched since the Showtime Lakers? I mean, that was the impression that I was – I remember before KD. Like, that was the most exciting brand of basketball that the NBA had seen since the Showtime Lakers. You could argue maybe it was more impressive and more fun to watch than that. The three-point shots and the ball movement, the off-ball movement, the screens. And now that brand of basketball is back without KD. And I think it's more fun to watch.
You could put the Bulls triangle offenses from the early to mid-1990s
That's
in
true.
That conversation as well.
That's
but, yeah,
point.
The Golden State Warriors, what they're able to do on offense – and that does exist with Kevin Durant as well. But what they've been able to do for these last five-plus years now is beyond impressive. And, Rod, you're absolutely right. What they are able to roll out there in terms of depth of bench speaks to how great a job
Crazy.
Steve Kerr is doing of instilling culture, developing guys, and making sure that those guys understand what their roles are. That is the opposite of what basketball has become in 2019, is everybody
yep.
wanting to get the ball in their hands to play hero ball. Golden State, although they do have a couple of guys like that, they're
yeah.
dudes who deserve to be like that, in Steph Curry and Draymond Green to a lesser degree, and then also Klay Thompson, but they have dudes who understand why they are on the floor, the specific reason. The spacing is beautiful, the passing is beautiful, and it is a pretty brand of basketball. Even
yeah.
as somebody who's rooting against the Warriors,
exactly, we
because
all
I am, I do have to appreciate what's going on.
No, there are
right
a bunch
now.
Of Jon Snows in this, that the sense that they have the ability to be the guy, but none of them want to be king. It's like, no, I don't want the throne. And it's like, well, Steph's like, no, when KD comes back, he's the man. I can't wait till KD comes back. And it's
yeah.
like, and
it's all about the greater good.
It's all about the greater good, yeah. and everybody's trying to, no, you take the spotlight. No, you can have it. And that's what the ball movement's all about. It's representative of how unselfish everybody is.
Yeah.
No, you
yeah.
take it. You take it. And the defense is all about their effort as a team. And, I mean, I'm amazed at it, too. It's fun to watch now because I just think we all forgot how good they were. Like I said, I mean, they were the Beatles, and they added Bob Dylan, and now we just forgot that they were the Beatles.
All right, so let me ask you guys this. The last play of the game, Andre Iguodala, forget about whether or not you thought it was a foul. Are you surprised it wasn't called? Are you surprised they didn't call Andre Iguodala at the end there for a little contact? Because that felt like more contact than they are allowing in 2019. As an older basketball fan, which I guess I am now at 44, I liked it, but I was surprised they didn't call it.
You know who is surprised it wasn't called a foul? Andre Iguodala. He said so after the game. He said he had a very similar play at the
wow.
end of a game versus Philadelphia that was caused a foul. So
right.
While on one hand it was a nice play by him, it's also one that could go either way. I tend to be on the side that is okay with that not being called a foul
yep.
at the end of a playoff game like that, assuming that that level of physicality has been allowed throughout the game to where that precedent has already been set.
And ironically, guess who agrees with that thought? Damian Lillard does. In the end, Lillard said, as a shooter, I thought it was a decent amount of contact, but I get why they didn't call it.
Yeah.
I love
they had allowed a certain amount of
yeah.
contact.
He's like, oh, good defensive play.
That's why Draymond was flourishing, right?
Yeah.
He got a little foul trouble himself. He was in early foul trouble.
He played the last 10 minutes of the game with five.
And he had five blocks in that game.
Yep.
But that's Draymond's kind of game. You're gonna let me get physical? Okay, you call it on me when I get too many elbows up there. But if you're gonna let Draymond Green play, he's gonna get five blocks. He's gonna damn near get a triple double because that's his style of game. And they did. They let him play a little bit.
Yeah,
they did.
And Rod, I thought about your position on the football field because to me there was two parts to that play. And if you weren't calling the beginning, you certainly couldn't call the end. I thought the end of that play was genius defense by Iguodala.
Yeah.
There was a little arm hook at the early part of
it.
And you know that, right, as a DB.
Yeah.
If you can get that early thing in and they don't call,
it,
then
– and you're inside. And you're right there.
Then you go to the fundamentals and you look perfect, right?
Yeah.
He didn't call the beginning of it, and that's why I think ultimately that happens. But
I agree with
that. That down the stretch, I also thought Portland took some bad shots. McCollum missed some wide-open shots.
Yeah, late in the game he missed some. And they were up. They were up 8 points with 5 minutes left. I mean,
they were.
And that's really all you can ask for at Golden State. You could be up with 5 minutes left, and that's when you see Golden State, you know, make a couple of plays on the defensive end and hit a couple of big threes, and they are who they are. They are who we thought they were.
They missed 8 of their last 9 shots, and McCollum missed his last 5. The one thing we don't always see, think about it, this whole run for Golden State, the one person and then team that seemed to be able to stand up to them and have their big game when they needed it, it's LeBron and those guys.
It's LeBron.
And it took somebody getting kicked in the crotch and Draymond Green to create it, and a 3 in a row, because they were getting busted up at that point, that's really the only time we've seen it. And I think back to a James Harden. Now it's Damian Lillard. Maybe it'll be Kawhi or the Freak. I just don't feel like we see somebody at their freakiest against them, because what I love seeing is you put up a freaky performance and I still beat you.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Like what we just saw Milwaukee do with Toronto.
LeBron and Golden State would do that all the time. LeBron would have a freaky performance, and he still lose Golden State.
That's true, right?
Or even vice versa. We've seen it with Golden State in that sense. So it's a good point. I agree with that.
Yep. So Golden State gets the win last night. Tonight it is Eastern Conference Finals Game 2, Toronto and Milwaukee once again. All right. There's a little bit of football stuff out there, and we never stop talking football around here as we get closer. I guess technically we're 99 days away from college football, 106 away from that first Saturday with the first Saturday game for Texas and Louisiana Tech and all of that. So, Rod, I was going to ask you just kind of a clarifying question, because we don't obviously have a game anymore, so it's all about recruiting and what's said back and forth between Longhorns and Aggies. I heard you discussing today on your show about possibly maybe there's Aggies that are upset about getting the 230 slot.
Yeah.
So is this like, is this Twitter talk? Is it Twitter message boards?
That's what the Texas A&M rivalry has now deteriorated into, is a Twitter beef. So it's people on Twitter that are upset that, you know, Texas would get that slot. But I'm with you. I think it's natural, because that's two blue bloods, in my opinion, Texas versus LSU, as opposed to one blue blood in the Texas A&M Clemson matchup, and that's Clemson. Mm-hmm. A&M, like I said, they're getting close. They're walking like one. They're talking like one. They're spending like one, and they're in the same, you know, division with a lot of them. But they're not a blue blood just yet. They just want, you know, they got a coach that's kind of like a blue blood coach. All that they're in the right, the right path, but I just think that's why they chose it. Texas, LSU, two blue bloods. It's rare these days you get to see two iconic blue bloods go at it. And Texas hasn't been relevant in a long time.
Right.
They're gonna take that advantage, or at least I'll take that rare advantage of Texas being relevant, because what if Texas isn't good late next year? Then you would have missed your opportunity to get Texas when they're highly ranked or whatever.
The other thing that'll be interesting to see, since Texas is scheduling these type of games and the Aggies are scheduling these kind of games, I guess that is going to be part of the competition.
That
right?
is it, yeah.
If they happen on the same weekend, which they won't all do that.
No.
But, and I'd actually forgotten yesterday, if you'd asked me, is it the same weekend? I didn't know. I think we discussed it a little bit,
but we weren't sure.
I hadn't double-checked if it was the same weekend. But maybe that becomes part of it too, right? Because the Aggies they've laid out some – the reason they're not going to play anymore – in addition to the fact that I don't think either side really wants to, is that they are both scheduling those kind of games.
Yeah.
So it's going to be about which of those games, I guess, gets the better time slot.
Well, even the Texas A&M LSU game, right? Texas wants their LSU game to be bigger than A&M's LSU game. And when Texas plays Bama, it's supposed to be bigger than your Bama game. If the Aggies' job is to make their Texas A&M Bama game bigger than the Texas Bama game in 2025, where the hell it happens.
Yeah.
Because that would mean that the Aggies are ranked in the top 10, because Bama's going to be there. And when you play, LSU, same thing. Like, that is part of the competition. It's a Cold War competition, but that is it in a sense.
Yeah, by the way, that is a feeling I think maybe a lot of fan bases have in the SEC. You want your game with Bama to be on TV partially because of you.
Yes.
You know it's going to be there because of Bama.
That'll do their part. Right? You do your part.
Nick Saban is going to have a TV-quality team, right?
Yeah.
You need to make sure you bring one to that game, too.
Exactly right.
I'm going to be a little bit depressed if Nick Saban's still the coach at Alabama when these two teams play. Not gonna lie.
You'd be a little down on that one?
That would be awesome. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
You'd be a little down. Be a little down. That's understandable. That's totally, totally understandable. All right. We're here at the AVP Austin Open. A lot of good stuff going on here. It's nice crowds gathered. We're right across from the main court.
Got a nice breeze going.
The breeze is going. We're right here behind this bar. Rod is sampling beers left and right.
Got my kind of high blonde ale here.
What's happening next? Are you changing, or are you going to stay right with
this?
No,
I'm going with the Gold Cliff IPA. I haven't had that one yet.
Ah.
I got to try the Gold Cliff. And then I'll give you my rankings at the end.
Do you know where that rates?
Rank them all.
Do you know where that rates on the IBU scale?
I have no idea.
Do you know how bitter this beer is, Rod?
I have no idea. I just tell you if I like it or not, yeah.
I learned about that the last couple of years, and I realized beer really is as snooty as wine sometimes.
There are some beer snobs. My brother's kind of a beer snob. Yeah. Oh, Joe says he's a beer snob. There you go.
Yeah, it can get snobby.
Joe's got the beard to back
that
up his claim.
He does.
Yeah, yes, beer snobs don't look like wine snobs, dude. they look totally different. Yeah. They look like Joe with the beard.
You saying you'd rather party with?
Oh yeah.
You saying you'd rather party with beer snobs than wine snobs? Is that what you're saying?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Who are you gonna party with?
Probably beer snobs.
You gonna party with the
beer snobs? Yeah, beer snobs are more of me.
Trey. Yeah, beer snobs or wine snobs?
Can I get a couple of each to kind of counterbalance one another?
Well, it's just not a perfect world game.
Yeah.
This is an either-or game.
Can I party with the weed snob instead?
Yeah. That's not a part of the discussion.
There are weed snobs, too?
Oh. Just go where it's legal, Rod.
If I have a choice, I'm going to hang out with the weed snob.
We
got to take them out of the discussion. Wine snob, beer snob.
Well, the weed snob's like Willie Nelson. Yeah, Willie Nelson is Snoop on your weed snob. So.
We don't know that Willie is a weed snob.
Oh, yes, he is. Of course he is.
He's got his own brand now. He's a snob.
Does that make him? Okay, he's a snob.
I guarantee you Willie's not going to be smoking anything that's filled with stems and seeds.
That's true. Okay, all right.
He's definitely turned away some stuff like, oh, brother, I don't smoke that no more.
So you're saying in the last couple of years.
I could just stiff my hair and get higher than that.
You're saying in the last couple of years when Chris Stapleton put out that song called Stems about this morning I smoked them stems, about how bad life is at that point. Willie's never done that? Morning I smoked them stems?
35 years since he smoked a stem or something like that? Or a seed?
Yeah.
Maybe that.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
They mistakenly missed one while he was rolling it up. Not that I would know anything about that.
No, it's obviously. There's a lot of articles about that.
Yes, it is.
You've read the articles.
Yes. BuzzFeed.
Yes, obviously. Yeah, TMZ.
BuzzFeed top 10 list.
The top 10. Coming up, we'll get you the big three. Longhorn baseball coming to a screeching halt today. Plus, Brooks Koepka trying to keep it up at the PGA Championship and what Jordan Spieth did to get himself in the discussion. Also, Rod Babers hanging out with us. More Longhorn Insider stuff coming from Rod. We're at the AVP Austin Open out here at Craig Fields. Come see us. It's the Horn. It's a put on, everybody. Not the AVP, Austin Open. It's a lyric from this song. The Who with a big birthday this weekend. Not the whole band. That'd be kind of strange. Pete Townsend will be 74 on Sunday. Great little riff from the early to mid-80s. This one got a lot of play on MTV, and a lot of people have used this over the years. So shout out to The Who today. Also, Trent Reznor with a birthday today, and George Strait's going to have a birthday tomorrow. Also, a member of ZZ Top with a birthday on Sunday, and that concert comes up at Coda on Sunday. I'm going to go check out ZZ Top. And the weird part of that is my wife and I are going to see ZZ Top, and then we've got to stay away from social media, get back to the house,
Game of Thrones,
slam some coffee, and stay up for the end of Game of Thrones. Because my wife says, I told her, I said, well, couldn't we just wait until the – she said, no. She said, I'm not going to bed Sunday night until I know the end of Game of Thrones.
Because then you can potentially have it spoiled for the next day. You never know, some neighbor, some rant. Social media is not enough to stay away from just social media.
Because
I've had to wait 2 days, actually, because my girlfriend was coming in town late. Remember that time?
Yes, that was tough.
And I got to tell you, man, I failed to be able to avoid the spoilers from – people working registers at, you know, like convenience stores and going to get Thundercloud, everybody, ride shares, everybody got in the car with, like, hey, man, you like Game of Thrones? Like, no, shut up.
Right.
Shut up right now, damn it.
Well, you know, last weekend, remember the Sports Center guy ruined it for a lot of people.
He ruined it.
So it can happen.
Social media, you know, Sports Center, word of mouth, me texting you at 9:30 on Sunday night, anything.
No, I'm not even looking at my phone.
Just turn it off.
Yeah, I must turn the phone off.
Yeah. Old school, baby.
Gonna have to do that.
Yeah.
All right. That's Rod Babers hanging out with us. Trey Elling is here as well. I'm Chad Hastings, and we are at the AVP Austin Open today. Let's get you the big three and tell you the good and the bad news today on the Texas front.
The big three.
It's brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. I'm always one that prefers the bad news first, so let's go to the bad news first, especially if you're a Texas fan, and that is Oklahoma beating Texas 13-0 today to officially end the Longhorns' chances to get to the Big 12 tournament. Two last night, they lost 13-0 today. They'll play again at 6:30, but now they cannot make the Big 12 tournament.
I feel like this weekend series was all riding on them winning the series opener last night. When that did not happen, they knew too much had to happen, and there was just that mental and physical letdown that led to the drumming that occurred at the dish just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Craig at 5:30, kind of put a cap on the season, but also that's one of the things I want to ask him about. Could you tell? When could you tell in that second game that it was going to get away from him?
It was early, sadly enough.
Obviously,
you know?
It did. Some good news for you Texas fans, especially if you like Texas and you like golf. The Texas men's golf team has advanced in the tournament, if you have not seen that, and they seem to do that every year. So that's not necessarily big news, but it is good news. Also, Jordan Spieth, of course, a national champion golfer at Texas, and has been a big dog on the PGA Tour. Recently, it hasn't been great for him, but Jordan did put a 66 on the board today. He is in third place right now with five shots back of Brooks Koepka. He's at -5. Adam Scott is up to -6. Koepka had slipped back down to -9, but he birdies another hole. So today he's -3. He's through 13 holes, trying to put up another nice round at the PGA. Just making sure here on Tiger Woods slips down to +4. Ooh. Through 13 holes. That may put him on the wrong side of the cut line. We'll see. Some other names, Dustin Johnson, actually having a pretty good, decent day. He's -3 today, and he shot a 67. He's -4, so within shouting distance. Ricky Fowler -2. Phil Mickelson even par. He's done for today with a 71, so he will be 10 shots back, but he will be playing the weekend. Again, Tiger might be in danger of missing the cut at the PGA. Last night in the NBA, Golden State wins 114-111. Portland, as we mentioned, missed 8 of their last 9 shots, and Steph Curry went all Steph Curry when he needed to. 37 points for Steph in the game. Klay Thompson had 24. Tonight, Eastern Conference Finals, Toronto could have stolen game one, but they didn't. Milwaukee up 1-0. That's on TNT at 7:30. Fellas, one of the things from last night, it still freaks me out. I love a good record. I love a good stat. And Steph Curry's got one now that is blowing my mind. It's going to end at some point. It may even end coming up in these next few games. But there is nothing to me more clutch than this. In the fourth quarter or overtime of a playoff game, Steph Curry is on a 79 free throw streak. He's made 79 in a row in the fourth quarter and overtime of playoff games. Jeez. The last time he missed one was in the 15 finals.
That's crazy.
That's how long it's been since he missed a free throw in those situations. Last night, his brother came up talking to him. Didn't matter. Chew on the mouthpiece. Don't chew on the mouthpiece. It does not matter. The building doesn't matter. Hand him the ball. He's going to knock them both down.
And I think something that's weird, and maybe I just haven't paid attention to it. I mean, I'll go back and try to watch some, you know, maybe YouTube video tonight. You know how most guys have a stated routine? They always repeat the same thing over and over again. Every free throw. You can literally you can go through LeBron's routine and most guys. And even MJ's like, I don't think he has really a routine. He kind of goes up there and he's chewing on his mouthpiece and talking stuff. And he's all, like, he doesn't even like get set. He just kind of throws. Right. And I was like, huh.
I think he's
so confident that he doesn't have to get set like everybody else and have the routine. He just goes.
I think the formatics of it might be the same every time. I think the key for him is it's quick.
It is quick. That's what I mean. It's quicker than everybody else.
Right.
Like he doesn't. Everybody else kind of takes their time. He's like, nope, I'm good.
A few years ago, they ran into this interesting thing where people started noticing that LeBron was changing his free throw.
Yeah, his routine.
Yeah. LeBron's had a few of them. He's been trying to find one.
He's like Tiger, changing up his swing.
Yeah. Because one of the things there's you know, one of those things if you're trying to do a comparison of LeBron and some of the greatest of all time is. Biggest moment, free throw has to be made. He's not as clutch as we've seen. He's not Michael, and he's not Magic.
Not Kobe.
He's not Bird. Yeah. He's not Kobe and some of those guys. But Steph, that's a serious – I mean, 70. His next one will be 80 in a row, fourth quarter overtime. That's amazing to me.
No, it is. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Amazingly clutch, too.
Another crazy stat, guys, and I forget the exact number. It's somewhere in the low 20s. Golden State has gone like 21 or 22 straight playoff series winning a road game.
Wow.
So not only do you usually have to beat them at least once in Oracle, you likely have to beat them twice to even have a chance to win that series.
They will steal one of yours. I agree. No, it is. It's crazy. And I believe they have a record, too. Not a record, but an impressive streak of winning like the first game of every series, too. Mm.
Under Steve Kerr, they are, 18-1 now in game one?
Yeah, it's some freakish thing. Like they rarely lose a game one.
It's insane.
It's insane. Like I said, we forgot how good they were. That's our fault, not theirs.
Rod Babers, Longhorn Insider segment here. Rod, give me some Longhorn talk. I heard you say earlier that you might have been ready today to pick the Longhorns to beat LSU. Did you actually do it?
I don't know why. I'm trying to start a new research on, you know, the season and stuff like that. I am confident in Longhorns winning that game.
Really?
Right now, I think I'm picking Texas, and I don't think I'm going to waver from that.
You want to go ahead and pick a blowout and just really go?
No, I'm not that stupid. Okay. I'm stupid enough to be overconfident in Texas beating LSU. But go back and look at Tom Herman's record as a play caller or a coordinator versus top 10 defenses. I want to say he is 8-3 ever since, and he's won 7 in a row versus top 10 defenses. By the way, Georgia wasn't a top 10 defense, by the way. Hmm. That wasn't even top 10. That was like top 20. And we saw the offense was able to make, you know, manufacture yards in offense. And Sam Ehlinger's the biggest reason why. It's Sam. He's special.
You believe in him enough that
– Has Tom Herman had a quarterback that good ever? Even at Ohio State. I think he's better than those guys he's had at Ohio State and won a national title with.
You think he's better than Braxton? You think he's better than Cardell? And you think he's better than JT Barrett?
I hate to sound that arrogant, but isn't he? He's one of the 6 quarterbacks in the history of the Power 5 to have 25 touchdowns, at least 25 touchdowns, at least 15 rushing touchdowns, at least 25 passing touchdowns. Just the group is like Cam Newton, Tim Tebow, Lamar Jackson. I think it's Marcus Mariota and Johnny Manziel are the other 5. He is a freak, man. He's a freak. I don't think we're giving him enough props. I heard y'all talking about that. We seem to kind of forget about his freakish style of play and skill set. I think that's why Tom Herman is loading up on offensive minds to help maximize Sam Ehlinger, a special player, while you have him now.
Yeah,
because he knows he's special, and he knows he's the best quarterback he's ever had.
We were talking about potential breakout players for the Texas Longhorns in 2019, and it's strange to say, but in a way you could answer Sam Ehlinger with that question. He has made believers out of all of Longhorn Nation, but when you see guys like Adrian Martinez ranked in front of him in the Heisman standings, you just scratch your head and say, what?
Yeah.
You don't understand what this dude brings to the table? Look at the stats that you just cited from last year. That dude is already special and has a chance to be even better this year, considering that he has more weapons in the receiving core, and he's actually going to have a run game to lean on a little bit more this year that has more to do than just him actually running the football and taking the punishment that comes along with that.
Yeah.
Is there something about Sam's demeanor and the way he carries himself that maybe doesn't show it off the way some of those other guys
No, did. he's arrogant and cocky as
a total alpha.
AF. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying
he's,
to figure, like,
he's
what
on
is
the stage saying, we're bad.
That's true.
Even Tom Herman's like, oh, please don't say that. Like, you see Tom Herman's face as he's like, don't say that.
Right. And maybe that moment is that moment might be the beginning of kind of where this is going to go, because that we talked about it. That LSU game is a huge moment for him to maybe announce himself to the country that doesn't realize who he is yet. If there are parts of the country, right?
Good point.
If in deep, dark SEC country, if you don't know who Sam Ehlinger is, that's the game that's going to show you who he is, especially if Texas wins it.
He just won in Louisiana. LSU fans know who he is.
Now that may be true. You may be right about that. You may be right.
Chad, even though we all know that Sam is that alpha leader that Tom Herman just talked about looking for when he first set foot on the 40 acres, you may be right about that in a way, because his stature doesn't necessarily suggest a special football player. He just looks like a guy who could be a solid football player, but he is able to take it to that next level because he's likely the toughest guy on the field at the quarterback position, and he possesses the special abilities in the passing game as well. He sees the field better than people give him credit for, reads defenses better than people give him credit for, and he makes the right throws a lot of times as well. We have inside knowledge on that because our boss, Jason, has been coaching the guy for so long. He gave us a forewarning on just how good he can be throwing the football.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, there's a little bit of – it's not – I think Sam's a better passer than this guy, but the package to me has a little Tebow-ish feel.
Yeah, it is.
The people that couldn't get into Tebow, it was because when you looked at it, it wasn't flashy. Mm-hmm. It didn't. It was a little more of a breaking the bottle over your head instead of running around you. And that, but now that's part of what I love about Sam. Yeah. Part of what I like about him, and what I'm assuming Texas fans love about him, right, is the gritty part. It's that substantive part of it. But maybe that's it. Of those Ohio State quarterbacks, the only one I would maybe lay an argument at, maybe JT Barrett at his absolute best. Maybe.
He was still not nearly as good as a passer.
Yeah, but I mean, I know it sounds crazy when you just say it out loud. It's like, no, he's the best quarterback that Tom Herman's ever had. And you go, whoa. And then you think about it, you go, actually, yeah, he is.
Yeah,
you know, it's like saying he's the third best quarterback that Texas football has seen in the last 50 years. You go, whoa, man. You go, well, behind Colt McCoy and behind Vince Young, he is. It just sounds crazy because we haven't said that out loud publicly yet.
And there haven't been enough others. It's the combo, right?
Quandre Diggs tweeted out today. They had a picture of Sam, like VY and Colt, on the Texas Longhorn Twitter page. He tweeted out, out of all my quarterbacks that I played with at Texas, I'd rather have Sam. I'd rather play for Sam than any of my guys.
Wow.
And he said it's not an insult to my guys that guy has that it quality, that indefinable, thing that you can't quantify. He's got it, whatever it is, and we don't know what it is, but we know it when you see it. It's like, you know, it's like porn.
A,
can't describe it, but I know it when I see it.
A, I continue to love and will always love Quandre Diggs, and B, he's not wrong. Trey?
He's not wrong. Show me the lie.
He's not wrong. I'm sorry, Trey, I interrupted
Thinking
you.
Of a quarterback that Tom Herman coached at Iowa State that may actually be able to compare to Sam Ellinger. Del Dillhole was one of those guys that he had that it factor.
I was going to say, did he coach Seneca Wallace? Did he coach Seneca Wallace?
He did not.
Okay, because Seneca was pretty damn good.
Seneca was good.
Seneca was pretty damn good.
Had a cup of coffee in the NFL.
Yeah, he did.
All right, thanks to Rod Babers, as always, for the Longhorn Insider
segment. Shout out to our friends at Kona right here, man, in the Kona Oasis.
So what are you doing? Which one is this now?
Okay, apparently they don't have the Gold Cliff IPA, so this is another Kanaha Blonde Ale, and I got to tell you, the Blonde Ales right now, I prefer blondes. I'm just learning about my ales. I prefer blondes when it comes to my woman's actually brunette, so she's not going to like that, but I prefer blonde ales.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's number one.
So when you're coming out, if you're right across from the main stadium is where you can find this great outdoor bar area.
Oh, it's great. They got the Big Wave Golden Ale. They got the Longboard Lager. The Kanahai Blonde Ale is there, too. So go there, check them out, man. It's fantastic. I'm on my second brew here from the Kona Brewing Company, which is also the official sponsor of the AVP tournament, I should say, more often. That's why they're showing so much love.
Rod Babers, weekdays 1 to 3 with the Rodcast. We grab him at 3:30 and 4:30 for the Longhorn Insider, and sometimes he has to do deep, deep research on his favorite beers in the world. That's a tough job, Rod.
I'll tell my woman when I get home, and she's like, what'd you do today? I'm like, I had to drink beers for Kona. Give my review.
Had to do some work. What are you going to do?
She's going
to
hate that more than I had to watch the game for work.
Hey, years ago, I had to tell my wife, got to leave early today. Why? Because I got to work. What are you doing? I'm a judge in a queso contest.
And I take my job very seriously.
That's right. I take it seriously. And how dare you? How dare you say it's a silly thing? Very difficult taste buds. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
All right. That's Rod Babers. Check him out weekdays 1 to 3 with the Rodcast. Now with BK producing. You have been warned. And coming up, we'll get your afternoon blitz in. You've been warned there, too. 447-3776, your chance to jump in. Then we will get you a little one-and-done segment. Then it's basketball talk with Matt Moore of the Action Network. We'll get his thoughts on the early goings in the conference finals. That's coming up on the Horn.
The Blitz.
All right, afternoon blitz time if you want to jump in. 447-3776. You could even call like 2 or 3 minutes before if you want and then go ahead and get in line. Or just call now. Either way, it's usually the easiest way to do it. Or you could do it now, right? When you hear me say it, you could do it. Either way you want to do it. 447-3776. Get in line if you're not already there. First blitzer on an AVP Austin Open Friday. You're up.
How you doing?
Oh,
all right.
Lost him.
Did he just jump off something high? What was that? Blitzer number two, you're up.
Hey, Chad.
Yep.
Did you hear what the OU coach told the UT coach right before the game ended?
No.
Oh, Lord.
He said, say uncle.
Say uncle. Yeah, something like that. Blitzer number three, you're up. All right. No, man. Blitzer number three, you're up.
Hello.
I guess that's it. We done? Brian, nobody's there?
No, try this
Friday.
Guy.
All right, here we go. Hit it. Go.
Hello.
Hey, guys, you know why OU sucks, or rather what they suck?
What's that?
Oh, boy.
There it is. And finally, blitzer number five, you're up.
Hey, Chad and Kevin.
Chapeito.
Hey, man, you really want to get the Hispanic community out there to LSU versus UT? They say that Los Tigres are coming to Texas, and Sir Tecate, you'll have a 4-hour pinto coffee. Hope you're listening.
It's all about the sponsors. All right, we'll close the door on Chapeito there.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the Bird Poop.
There you go. Blitzender guy, if you're out there and you couldn't get in, hope you have a good weekend, too. Blitzender guy was probably watching the San Diego Padres when Ian Kinsler did what he did. Let's throw that. We'll make that one and done here, Trey, because I know you may have some thoughts. Ian Kinsler, former Ranger, hits a 3-run bomb for his Padres. Apparently the fans have been on the Padres a little lately. So he comes around the bases. He screams out F-U a couple times, and a lot of fans thought he was saying to them F-U. Ian Kinsler says, no, this is something between me and my teammates. And he did it again in the dugout. It's just something between us. It wasn't about the fans. Do you believe Ian Kinsler?
That was between Ian Kinsler and his teammates, and it had to do with the fans, Chad. I'm sorry. I don't buy his excuse-making right now. Ian needs to own it and just say, look, it's been a difficult stretch for me. I understand why they're frustrated, and I've become very frustrated as well, and I'm sorry that I took it out the way that I did. Ian Kinsler has started 37 games for this team out of the 44 that they have played total, and he has not been very good so far this year, Chad. I think you said that his batting average is below the Mendoza line right now, which, checking the stats,
Is it that bad?
175.
No.
His OBP is 233. His slugging percentage is 342. So he's not even at a 600 OPS right now. That is unacceptable, and it looks like Ian is actually going to – no, this was from a couple weeks ago. So Ian Kinsler, hopefully for Padres fans and hopefully for Ian himself, he can turn things around. But we have seen the skill level decline for him over these last couple of years now, so he's not a guy that I expect to return to all-star caliber at any point in the future.
Is it wrong – it's not my team and it's no longer my guy, but is it wrong that I just giggle at the thought of a Major League Baseball player yelling F you at his own fans? There's just something funny about that to me. I know it could probably get stuff thrown at you, but he's in San Diego. Do they even really care?
Boy, that's a good question.
I'm amazed they even went to the message boards to care.
Yeah, that's probably the bigger point to be made here, is that the surfer culture out in San Diego has a hard time caring about baseball in May. They have at least that much of a life perspective. San Diego, maybe people expected them to be a little bit better considering the big free agent signing they made this offseason, but they're 23-21 right now. They're 5.5 back from the LA Dodgers, will likely be in the mix for the wild card, and I think they realize that there should be better options at second base than what Ian Kinsler is providing right now.
Yeah, right now Brian Fitzgerald's producing our show, and he's a big Boston fan. He'll tell you, if you're doing that to the Red Sox fans, you might not make it to your car. I get that. Red Sox fans had an issue with Ted Williams back in the day. There was bad blood between Ted and his fan base at one point, but finally the Padres fans care enough. So I'm kind of excited that they do care enough to get mad at Ian Kinsler.
You know what? Ian was a Boston Red Sox last year, too.
He got
himself a ring.
He should know.
Couldn't let good be good. He had to decide to play another season to milk another team out of a couple million more dollars, and sure enough, he's paying the price now.
All right, 5 o'clock hour is coming up. We'll talk NBA with Matt Moore. We'll check in with Craig Way over at Dish Falk Field, where it did not go Texas's way today. And we'll get you updated on the PGA Championship, where it does look like somebody's going to have to chase down Brooks Koepka. Otherwise, he's going back to back with that unnecessarily big trophy. We're at the ABP Austin Open here at Craig Fields. Come see us. It's the Horn.